Eagles fans, and welcome to what is a very special edition of Cover 2 here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. I'm Chris McPherson, and this week we're going to break down the big win over the New York Giants, the shutout victory, and I have two special guests to help me do so. I have Tim McManus from Birds 24/7. You can also hear him on 97.5 The Fanatic here in Philadelphia, and Jimmy Kemsky from Philly.com, artist extraordinaire. So first and foremost, look, the Eagles get the shutout win, the first time since you guys were 6 years old, 7 years old, I would say.
I wish. Yeah.
First time in 18 years, Eagles pitch a shutout. They get the 27-0 win over the Giants. So let's give some love to the defense. Tim, what were you most impressed about from a defensive standpoint in this performance over the Giants?
Well, the fact that the Giants had come in and it looked like they had got the operation up and running under Ben McAdoo, and I guess not, because the Eagles just had a bead on what they were trying to do. And I give full credit to Billy Davis. I mean, sometimes, you know, you have a defensive coordinator on offensive coordinator battle, and one wins decisively, and I think that's exactly what happened. They seemed to understand the tendencies pre-snap, and they had the guys in the right position, and you know, the front seven was just eating it up all day.
What are you guys seeing from Barwin and Trent Cole? I mean, Barwin was someone who didn't produce a lot of sacks last season. You look at Trent Cole, he had all of his sacks in the second half of the season. Some people thought that maybe he's on the decline. What have you seen from those two guys, Jimmy?
He doesn't stop. Both of them don't stop. Trent Cole and Connor Barwin, Trent Cole was a guy that could, you know, beat left tackles one-on-one earlier in his career. And I think, you know, I don't know if the decline is all that steep. He can still beat left tackles on occasion, but he's not that he's not really that elite guy anymore. But I think both he and Barwin make up for it with just their – and not to go Andy Reid here, but their motors are just amazing. They just they never stop. They always keep going after it. And and what you're seeing now is you're seeing it show up in the stat sheet. Connor Barwin's a guy who just – is sort of underappreciated because he doesn't put up big sack numbers, does a lot of things in terms of being able to drop into coverage, can play the run, gets a lot of batted passes, which don't really are kind of off the radar for a number of fans. Had some huge plays last year. I think he had like 7 or 8 batted passes last year, has a bunch of them this year. Again, that doesn't really show up in the stat sheet, but this year, his hustle and his just nonstop motor is showing up in the stat sheet, and you know it could for him.
It seems like they're allowing Barwin to rush the quarterback more this year, more than anything else, where last year when they were transitioning from the 4-3 to the 3-4, they wanted him, since he was so good at dropping back in coverage, to really focus on that.
Yeah, I think especially in this past week, he was allowed to get after the quarterback. And when he does, I mean, he's shown that he can be very effective at it, whether he's coming up through the A-gap or off of the edge. He was having success in both of those respects. And I think that has something to do with the comfort level that Trent Cole and Brandon Graham are both getting and being outside linebackers. It allows a little flexibility from Billy Davis to say, all right, I want you to drop on this one, and let's let Connor get some action and let him eat a little bit. And it's been benefiting. I mean, for him to have 3 sacks this past week, 2 the week before, 1 the week before that, I mean, all of a sudden you have a real viable pass-rushing threat in Connor Barwin.
Now, let's talk about the defensive backs. Much maligned throughout the course of the season. You know, last week they were criticized for allowing the Rams to get back in the game. Obviously, you don't get 8 sacks unless you're getting great coverage on the back end. And it seemed like between what Bill Davis was calling Tim and what the defensive backs were executing, they were able to help to get the job done and help provide the shutout.
It's a great point, because Eli Manning was getting the ball out faster than anybody in the league except for his brother. Right, in 2.5 seconds that he was getting the release. And Barwin was talking about it after the game, that what they saw on tape was Eli with the first read and out. And he wasn't able to do that this week. And he had to go to second progression, third progression. Next thing you know, Cole was on and Barwin was on him, and he was going down. I mean, so you have to give what has been a much maligned outside corner group with Kerry Williams and Bradley Fletcher some credit, that they were able to bottle up with a pretty decent receiving core, give it the time for the pass rush to get home. And that all worked together and led to a shutout.
So LeSean McCoy finally get off the Schneid, first 100-yard rushing performance of the season. Jimmy, what was the biggest key in your estimation for him to get going?
Well, the Giants only had 6 guys in the box on a number of occasions. The Eagles came out in those 3 wide receiver sets, so they had their Giants were in their nickel defense. And surprisingly, they kept 2 safeties back, as opposed to most teams who have brought a safety into the box, which is very surprising to me. And they kind of dared the Eagles to run the ball on them, and they did, and you know, it just didn't work out so well for them. So I think it was an occasion where some things were open in the run game. Obviously, the offensive line did a tremendous job getting a push in the run game, opening up some bigger holes than we've seen so far this season. You know, they're getting a little bit healthier. Tobin's getting more experience at left guard. David Mulk had a great game at center, as getting some experience there as well. So when you look at the Eagles' offensive line, and when you have, in my opinion, one or two Pro Bowl caliber players in Jason Kelce and Evan Mathis, who reportedly are expected to return sometime around the Carolina Panther game, you get those guys back. Those guys are healthy. They'll be fresh for the stretch run. Now you have some backups that are battle-tested. They'll be in good shape for the end of the season.
So the Eagles are 5-1 heading into the bye week. Tim, what's your overall take on the team as they sit here with the best record since you got to go all the way back to the Super Bowl team in 2004?
There's questions with 4-1, as we well know, and they needed one of these wins where it was like, all right, yeah, we have it covered on all bases, and we're going to put it together for four quarters to make it, you know, at least maybe ease any kind of concerns that there were, maybe not internally, but externally, people wondering, you know, should we fully get behind? And I think that was about as decisive as you get, man. I mean, you know, 27-0 to shut out a team like that in that kind of fashion, just a dominant performance overall, so you have to feel really encouraged about what you're seeing from this team heading into the bye.
Jim, you like what you see at 5-1?
5-1, and they had so many offensive line injuries earlier in the season. They got some guys back. Harriman's, of course, wasn't injured, but he was kicked out from right guard to right tackle. And at, you know, at one point, they only had one player playing their original offensive line position. Of course, Jason Peters at left tackle. So you have that many guys missing, and you're still winning games. I think you're in good shape. Obviously, they are also missing Michael Kendricks for a number of games, who is a player who is really emerging as a playmaker on that defense. So as they get healthier after this bye, of course, we'll find out how long Darren Sproles will be out. That's a new one, of course, on the ledger that we got to worry about. But, yeah, they're certainly in good position. They have the best record in the NFL right now at 5-1. I don't know if anyone would have foreseen that heading into the season, but when you look at the landscape of the NFL, or excuse me, the NFC, they're as likely as anyone to pick up, you know, maybe that first round bye in the playoffs, as long as they can hold off Dallas and the Giants the rest of the way.
Those Cowboys, they only had lost to Seattle. He's Jimmy Kempsey, he's Tim McManus, I'm Chris McPherson, and thanks for joining us in a special edition of Cover 2 as we recap the win over the Giants and the look ahead to the bye week. Thanks for joining us here. Have a great Eagles day.